for a little while, we want to talk on the subject. I want to ask the question, can you see God moving in your life? In the morning, it'll be all over in the morning. The psalmist, how did he reach the conclusion that weeping may endure, is allowed to endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning? You see, David wrote these verses in response to something. Let me just set it up like this. He said, I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried unto thee and thou hast healed me. O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive that I should not go down to the pit. David, king of Israel, God's anointed, had been challenged by his son Absalom for the kingdom. Absalom got him some soldiers and some troops and some followers, and he went in and ran his father out of the kingdom so that David had to hide. David's enemies say, surely David's through. He doesn't have enough soldiers backing him in order to put him back on the throne. David is finished. He may as well die because his son's not going to let him back in. He's like the old lion being run out by the new lion. You do not come back into the kingdom. His son went a step further. He took David's concubines, his girlfriends, and he had relations with them in the public so that he embarrassed his father to the deepest. David thought he was through. But God intervened in the fighting. And the Bible tells us that Absalom, his son, his gifted son, a son that David loved. When David's forces went out, David told them to capture Absalom, but don't kill him. And we know from reading the Bible that Absalom is killed, and David went into mourning and said, Absalom, oh my son Absalom. And he suffered. But what had gotten David to this point? We're going to jump ahead and look at verse 6, where he recounts what had gotten him there. He said, and in my prosperity, I said, I shall never be moved. He got arrogant. God told him, I will send whatever you need in order to succeed in any battle against your enemies. But one day David decided, I want to know something. I want to know how many troops I have. And he sent Joab to number. And Joab said, God said he's going to take care of you. Do you really want to do this? And after the troops had been numbered, and took him 10 months. David knew by then that he had wronged God. So David says here in 6, I shall never be moved. No one can move me off the throne. He had forgotten who put him there. And then he says, Lord, by thy favor thou hast made my mountain, that is my kingdom, to stand strong. Thou didst hide thy face, and I was troubled. When I was out hiding, I was troubled. I wondered whether I would ever get back. But then I cried to thee, O Lord, unto the Lord I made my supplication. And he asked God, what profit is there in my blood? When I go down to the pit, shall the dust praise thee? Shall it declare thy truth? Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. Lord, be thou my helper, as thou once was. When I could say that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. But then in verse 4, there are several sections here. Look at verse 4. I like this. David goes from talking about what had happened to him to right away he said, he start telling the people to sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, that's to us, and give thanks to the remembrance of his holiness. For his anger endureth. He had to stop in his telling of the story to give God praise in the middle of it. He just had to shout for a moment. And then he said, for his anger endureth but for a moment. In his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, because I know, but joy cometh in the morning. And then he concludes with, thou hast turned for me my mourning, verse 11, into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth, my mourning, and girded me with gladness. You've taken off my clothes of mourning and put on rags of gladness, to the end that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent. Oh, Lord, my God, I will give thanks unto thee. How long? My brothers and sisters, 2 weeks ago, Pastor Dixon preached a sermon entitled The Strong Man. Last Sunday, Minister Judkins preached on the subject, That's It. Each of those sermons reassured us that God is in control. Stay with me now. He moves in the lives of his people, and that his ways are not complicated, nor is his will for our lives impossible for us to achieve. For all who are saved, sanctified, and sealed, victory is not just a promise, it is our end result. Far too many of us are spending too much of the precious time that God has given us worrying about what will happen tomorrow or what will happen next. Far too many of us are emotionally bogged down and overly consumed with the fear of life in our nation under its present leadership. Let me say that again. We are emotionally bogged down and overly consumed with the fear of life in our nation under its present leadership. I came to tell you this morning that on this Independence Day weekend, that for most of our nation's history, our citizens have been divided over issues, the issues of the day. Whether those issues were politics, war, social issues, taxes, corruption, sexual scandals, economics, racism, or states' rights, we have been divided, yet we are still standing. We kind of want to look back on history and think that everything was all right with the founding fathers. But I came to tell you today that John Adams did not agree with George Washington on some of the things. He was his vice president, and he had issues with Washington. Thomas Jefferson did not agree with John Adams. He was his vice president, and they had issues. Alexander Hamilton did not get along with Thomas Jefferson, who ended up being president. Thomas Jefferson and Aaron Burr did not get along, and Aaron Burr being his vice president. And if you know history, you know that Aaron Burr and and Alexander Hamilton were so angry with each other that they had a duel. And the duel resulted in Alexander Hamilton being killed. It wasn't perfect. John Adams and Alexander Hamilton, I'm sorry, John Adams and Thomas Jefferson were like this during the Continental Congress when the country was being built. But then they divided over the issue of France. Can I teach this morning? They divided over France. And these men who have been tight all of a sudden wouldn't speak to each other. And this went on for years until Thomas Jefferson's wife died. Adams took it upon himself to write a letter of condolences, and because he knew Mrs. Jefferson, and he expressed how much he and Abigail wanted to extend to him their deep condolences over the loss of his beloved wife. And when Jefferson in Virginia received this from Adams in Massachusetts, he penned a letter back of thank you. And then a second letter went out, and a third, and they became pen pals to the point that if they had a telephone, it would have been they were on the phone every day. They sent letters constantly to each other because they then found that they had more in common than they did that divided them. And in their final days, they were still sending letters back and forth. Now, here's the point. 50 years after the signing of the Declaration of Independence, on July 4th, 1826, in the morning of that day, Thomas Jefferson died. Later that morning in Massachusetts, John Adams, knowing that he was dying, declared he was glad because Jefferson still lives. Unbeknownst to him, they both died on July 4th, 1826. I'm telling you all this to tell you that the history of the country, the country has always had troubled times. We want to look back on history and now and think in terms of President Lincoln being loved. He was the most despised person in the country at the time on the day he died. For his entire presidency. I know y'all didn't come to hear political stuff today, but his entire presidency was mired in the North, mad about the war because they thought it was only going to last a minute or two, and the South angry about the tactics he used. He used high-tech tactics that no one had ever seen before. He used the telegraph. He disrupted and used the railways to move troops. They were used to him marching. And he started a high-tech thing. I just came to tell you that presidents and new policies come and go. Senators and representatives come and go. New laws and new rules come and go. Good men and good women, bad men and bad women come and go. Yet 241 years after the founding of this nation, we are still standing and still withstanding the test of unity. Even good-hearted men and women from all walks of life will disagree over some of the issues before them. Yet, we do not have to be disagreeable when we disagree. We must not allow the vileness of others to cause us to act in the same way. As ones who are saved by grace, we are called to a higher standard of living and response. For he who saved us and he who supplies our strength, our provision, and our protection requires it of us. Turn to somebody and tell them, God requires you to act like a Christian. For you see, while you are in the will of God, you cannot be defeated. While you are in the will of God, you cannot be defeated. For Romans 8:28 tells us, we know that all things work together for the good of them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. This morning, I'm not going to bore y'all long because I know you got to get to the ribs. But this morning, I have just 3 points I wish to make. My first point. Life is a journey and not simply a series of unconnected events. Life is a journey. I think I'm having a... And not just a series, not simply a series of unconnected events. Some of us have never come to realize that there is a pattern to and in our lives. Is it any wonder that without thinking about it, some of us seem to always fall into the same or similar past patterns of behavior and response that were not beneficial to us then and cannot be beneficial to us now? We never wonder about it. And then we wonder why we must always go through the same thing, endure the same pain, repeat the same arguments, and end up with the same results over and over. If I could, I'll probably turn this off and use a hand mic if that'll work just as good. We must come to realize that God designed us to learn from our experiences. God designed us to learn from our experience. When we were young and were told not to touch that radiator or the stove because it was hot and would burn us, some of us obeyed that warning and did not touch it. Am I right about it? Yet others of us did not obey, touched it, got burned, never touched it again. Why? Because we knew the report was true, that a hot item produces hurt. And because we listened, learned, we remembered. Yet I know for a fact that some of us are confronted with the same problems and situations constantly, and we make the same mistakes in dealing with them. Our instruction manual teaches us how to avoid or handle them, yet we will not be obedient to its instructions for success. It is a fact that when you miss a worship service, a Bible study, a Sunday school, warnings and practical solutions to your situations are given, or something is said, if you had received it, could have shortened your nighttime experience. I know that for a fact. Because I see people all the time ask about the same, well, how do I do this? We've gone over that 10 times. But you weren't here 15 times. So you missed it. And you go over it and over it. And then you'll say, well, I ain't learning nothing at the church. Well, you're not here often enough to learn. We're a teaching ministry. Yes, God has given us a spirit in here. We shout, we sing, but we're a teaching ministry. And our object is for you to be better than when you came in. Not to have you captive, but free. And then when you miss the instructions, you know what happened? Yeah, I think I better turn this off. When you miss the instructions, you remain on the merry-go-round. And we all have been on a merry-go-round. Anybody ever been on and wanted to get off? Huh? You know you have to jump off. It stops every now and then, but once you get on that merry-go-round, and a merry-go-round is funny. A merry-go-round won't get you to New York. It won't get you down to Raleigh. It'll get you back to the same place you started out over and over again. And you'll get on and get off. Your Christian life is not a merry-go-round. This is not an elective. You're supposed to be here every time the door opens. Well, I'm busy. Thank God, God isn't. I got things to do. Somebody is missing today because they have family that came in from out of town. They're not here. But yeah, I guarantee you, whomever that is, they got problems. But yet, the family connection was more important than coming and getting fed today. Coming in here, the choir may sing something that the light goes off right away. The preacher may say something. Somebody sitting next to you may just encourage you. But when you're not here, that's not going to work. And then you'll say, I didn't learn nothing over Solid Rock. Well, it wasn't because it wasn't taught at Solid Rock. It's because you didn't bring your heart with you into solid rock. Let me move on. Second point, I'm almost done. Revelation from God is served to us one spoonful at a time. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, revelation from God is served to us one spoonful at a time. So do not be impatient when you think you know enough and can take it from here. I know all the books in the Bible. I know all the characters in the Bible. I know what they're going to say before they say it. Knowing it and applying it are two different things. Some of us know how to start a car. We have a license, and we have permission to drive, but can't drive a lick without hitting something. You can know the 23rd Psalm. You can recite the 23rd Psalm. But until you can live the 23rd Psalm, see, the 23rd Psalm takes your fear. And it gives you the assurance that nothing can overtake me. Am I right about it? So the Word of God is ever revealing. And it's not a read it or hear it one time and I got it instruction manual. I'll tell you the truth, and anybody else that studies the Word, this is true. You can read a passage of Scripture and may have read it for the 20th time in your life, and all of a sudden you look down and you see something that you didn't see before. Not a word you didn't see, because the words were there, but the thought. Why? Because God feeds us as we are able to receive. Don't expect to receive it in one sermon, one sitting, or in one season. God feeds us as we are ready to receive. If you're not, and being ready is not saying I'm ready. God knows your heart, and He knows whether you're really ready to receive it or not. Most folk want to come into church, get saved, and all of a sudden they want to know everything. Look, you can't do that. Why? Because your head would bust. If God just gave you that much of what you're going to end up knowing, your head would explode. Yeah, let me take this and turn this off. I hear something popping. You see, when you desire to follow God's will for your life, when that desire becomes greater than your fear to follow Him, I said this a few weeks ago. When your desire to follow God's will for your life becomes greater than your fear to follow Him, when your faith becomes greater than your excuses, then the how-to, that is the power to succeed in the spirit realm, will present itself and will attach onto you. When your faith in God is strong enough, God's peace will overtake you and carry you through life's darkest hours. And then lastly, and I'm on my way home now. When our text teaches that trouble don't last always. How many people know that to be true? Trouble won't last always. David wrote, weeping may endure for a night, but weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. One writer wrote, For a moment last his anger. For a lifetime last his love. Sorrow is but the guest of a night, and joy comes in the morning. Here's what we have to understand. Night does not mean darkness on the outside. Your night could be 8 o'clock in the morning. I know some of us have had a night down at the emergency room and the sun was shining. So don't look for night to be nighttime, but look for your night to be whenever you're tested and whenever it is God's will that you go through something. Some of our best things have happened to us during our night, but we found out that God is able. Some of us have been sick and the doctor scratched their head, but we found out that God is able. It wasn't the medicine that got us. It wasn't the Bay State Medical Center that got us back on our feet. It was the mercy and the grace of Almighty God. Do I have a witness? Anybody been sick here besides me? I know what I'm talking about. See, I had a stroke from there to here. I lost 12 minutes somewhere along the line. I had no idea I had a stroke. But God saw fit that even though I had that stroke and ended up 3 nights in a hospital, come on, somebody, that I did not have brain damage or damage from movement of my limbs. I've had a heart attack. But God gave my heart strength again. Yeah, I take medicine. Yeah, I have to do exercise. But I don't sit here and worry about my heart all day, for I know in whose hand I am. I know that weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. I have prostate cancer, but I told you, I'm still walking around. I'm walking as though I don't have it. Why? Because God has promised that I cannot leave here before I finish what he sent me to do. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Why? He maketh me to lie down in. He leadeth me besides the still water. My soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. Wait a minute. I don't have to find righteousness because he leads me down the pathway of righteousness. Why? For his name's sake. Not to prove anything to me. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for God is with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord. For you know what I found out? God does some of his best business at nighttime. You see, God first appeared to the children of Israel at night. God parted the Red Sea at night. God gave victory to Gideon's army at night. God protected Daniel in the lion's den at night. An angel killed 185,000 Syrians at night. An angel came to Joseph in a dream at night. Nicodemus came seeking Jesus at night. Paul and Silas had a jailhouse revival at night. Paul was shipwrecked on his way to a Roman jail at night. Jesus was born at night. Tempted at night. He was tried and convicted at night. He was buried in a borrowed tomb at night. He rose from the grave at night. But at it, joy came in the morning. It'll be all over in the morning. And then he said, I'm coming back like a thief. Weeping may endure for a night, but I promise you, joy.